This morning, what I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to let you know what I'm going to talk to you about, then we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to kind of tell you what I told you, okay? You follow me? Because what I want to talk to you about today is prayer, the principle of prayer. I believe there's four principles the Lord just laid upon my heart. One of them, the first and most important, is about prayer. And the reason I'm kind of setting the stage is because when I tell people we're going to talk about prayer, a lot of times people want to check their brain at the door and go, oh, I got this one. I already pray. I know what it's like. I've been in this church longer than you've been born. You know, I understand about prayer. But you see, prayer is a living organism. Think of it that way. It's something you're constantly moving in. And so I want to talk to you about that. If we can learn the principle of prayer, it leads us to the principle that we're going to talk about, which is the principle of suffering. I know that's not a favorite topic, but when you look at the Bible, you find good things come out of that. Then we're going to go into the principle of pruning, also not a very favorite topic. But what I want you to see is the good that comes out. When you prune something, think of a plant in your garden, if you will. When something is dead and you prune it, it brings what? It brings health to the rest of the branches. So we're going to talk about that. And then it leads to this place of contentment, this principle of contentment. I believe the Lord is leading us through a season right now that He needs us more than ever to be the church that He's called us to be. What I mean by that is a church that prays. Okay? So hear my heart. Yeah, get ready. You guys good? Online, people, are you good? Are you ready? Because what's going to happen is we're going to talk about the principle of prayer. This is so key. You're going to hear me say this a couple times, but I learned this early in my life, and it really sunk into my heart. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. There's a lot of times I would pray, and I would think, Lord, you know, prepare my heart, get me ready, help me through this season so that I can deal with this battle. I didn't realize I was actually in the battle. Actually, the battle was already going on before I entered into prayer. But now that I've entered into prayer, I am now able to battle against the spiritual forces of wickedness that come against us, not because of who I am, but because of who God is. And so this is very key for us to learn today. I'm going to share with you a couple scriptures. I want to read to you from Mark chapter 11, and then I'm going to jump over to Philippians chapter 4. Because there's something key here that we need to learn. Jesus, in the Gospels there, talked to us in Mark chapter 11 about how important prayer is. And if you'll remember with me, in Mark chapter 11, it says that Jesus was walking by with the disciples and he walked by a fig tree. And when he walked by the fig tree, it says that Jesus cursed the fig tree because there was no figs on it. And so let me kind of back up to verse 20 and read this to you. It says, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, Rabbi, look, that's the fig tree that you cursed and it withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is huge, have faith in God. Say that with me. Have faith in God. That wasn't a question. There's no question mark after that. It was a comment. The disciples, like you and me, are just following his lead. And as they follow his lead, they said, hey, look, the thing you cursed withered. And his response was, have faith in God. Did you not think that the promise I pronounced upon that tree wouldn't come to pass? Do you not see the power in the very name of Jesus who walks with you? And the disciples probably had to go, no. See, faith is just tied directly to this. So he said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, here it is. Therefore, I say to you, he's saying this to you today. This is Jesus speaking to you today. Therefore, I say to you that when you believe and don't have doubt, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and believe that you receive them and you will have them. Isn't that an amazing promise from God? You see, when I was a kid, I didn't understand the principle. I thought, man, really? If I believe in God, whatever I ask, I get. And I pray. Jesus put a Lamborghini in my parking lot, so when I wake up in the morning, it's there waiting for me. And I woke up the next morning, no Lamborghini, right? You see, the problem was this. The problem was, as though I prayed and I really tried to believe in my heart, I wasn't cooperating with God. I wasn't walking according to God's will or God's word when I was asking for it. You see, whenever you pray, it didn't say if you pray. It says when you pray. It says you ask according to the will of God. If we had time to go into that, I would, but we don't. You ask according to the will of God and according to the word of God. And when you do that, and you have faith and you believe, it says, then whatever it is that you're asking, he says that you will have it. God desires to give us those gifts. Now, let's flip over to Philippians chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, iPads, iPhones, whatever it is. In Philippians chapter 4, there's a key scripture that just kind of ties into this. Excuse me, that I want to share with you about prayer. We just heard Jesus say, have faith in God. Don't doubt. Put your faith in God. If you believe in it, ask for it, it will be done for you. And then it says in verse 6, it's a scripture that we're somewhat familiar with. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. But in everything by prayer and supplication. And then he throws in a zinger. With thanksgiving, he says, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He says, be anxious for nothing. We've been going through a season of anxiety, haven't we? Anxious thoughts, what's going on in this world? We don't know what to do. And I believe that God is up to something big. I want you to think of it this way. God is calling us to a season of prayer, not because he just wants us to be better Christian soldiers. You know what I mean? He's saying, I want you to be more evolved in your prayer life, in relationship with me, because what you need for the days that are coming is not in you, but I will place it in there if you will come to me. See, God wants to deposit that. How does that happen? When we spend time with him. God says, I will give it to you. Well, Pastor, hold on. You told me that when I gave my heart to Jesus, he gave me all the authority I needed to address whatever's in my life. He does. He gives you all the authority. But you see, there's a power in prayer that when you stay in communication with the Father, he releases in your life so you can have those now words. You can know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today so you know exactly what's going on. We've gone through a season, as I said, little did we know what was coming down the pike with COVID-19 and how it was going to affect not just Iowa, not just the United States, but the whole world. And I find it interesting to me that we were so caught up in COVID that all of a sudden when the riots started to take place, we've not heard about COVID in the last couple weeks, have we? Yeah. You might say, you know what? I didn't think about that. That's kind of ironic. No, there's no irony to this. The enemy is always at work. And it doesn't matter. He'll use whatever vehicle he can to get you distracted from the greatest purpose, and that's to stay in communication with your Father God. That's why prayer is so powerful. You see, we're looking at the riots now. Can I just tell you something? If it's not COVID-19 and it's not the riots, it's going to be something else. There's always, I'm just going to tell you right now, this is not good news, but there is good news in it. You know, oh, can't we just get back to normal? I felt that way. Can I be honest with you? Can't we just go back to the way it was? And we've declared normal church is over, right? It's over. And though we don't know exactly what that means, all of a sudden these riots, now I'm not going to, this is not a place nor a time to get on a soapbox about it, but I'll address it from a biblical standpoint, and that's simply this, that what is going on when you see the riots taking place right now in our world, this is not just a physical demonstration of people that are stating their purpose. There is a spiritual realm that's functioning here, folks. There is some demonic work that's going on. There are some spiritual things that we look at in the news and we watch this and we say, you know, can't people just get along? Or we start talking about racism, and the Bible has a lot to say about that. And I'm not going to get off on that today. We're going to stay focused on what it means to communicate with the Father, because that's what we need to navigate these times. Because when you get through this season, there's going to be another and another and another. And you might say, well, that's not good news, Pastor. No, that's not the good news. The good news is that we have a Father God who overcomes through all of it. And if we will tap into him, we don't have to worry about the seasons. What we have to worry is about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. They must stay fixed on Jesus. So, what I want to talk to you about today, I'm going to give you 6 principles, okay? And because this is what I want to do is talk about prayer. We're going to talk about suffering. We're going to talk about pruning the next week. Third week, then we're going to talk about contentment. It's a now word, what I believe the Lord wants to speak to us now. Here's the challenge I'm going to give you, okay? I'm asking you for, it's a double barrel challenge, okay? I'm asking each one of you to consider right now being intentional about developing your prayer life. Here's my challenge. I'm challenging you to spend 5 minutes, just at least 5 minutes, because some of you are here and you're saying, 5 minutes in prayer, piece of cake. But for some of us, 1 minute is like, ugh, feels like an eternity, right? Because I don't know about you, but when I think about praying, and when I was developing, and I'm still developing, I'm always developing, but it's ironic to me that when I get intentional about praying, the spirit of slumber comes over me. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, but maybe I'll take a nap real quick and get refreshed so I can be fresh and new for Jesus. You know, you get tired. Or what happens is this. When you get intentional about spending time with God, you can think of all of the chores that you've needed to do over the last month. They all of a sudden become a high priority, right? I better get those done. Those are distractions from the enemy. He doesn't want you to spend time with the Father because he knows that if you spend time with Father God, you're going to find out that you're more than a conqueror. You're going to find out that you have all that it is that you need. So that's why we need to talk about prayer. My challenge is this week, 5 minutes each day, spend time and just pray. And it doesn't have to be weird or lofty or spiritual. You can walk and talk like I'm talking to you, okay? Father, I just spend time. Maybe for you, you need some music. I turn on a worship song. Here, this is my challenge to you. Pick one worship song you'd like to worship to and play it and just pray during that song. That'll be your timer, okay? And you just use that time to say, Father, I don't even know what to ask at this moment, so I'm just going to lift up my husband before you. Lord, I ask your favor on his life. Lord, I lift my wife before you, and I pray that you will anoint her for whatever season you're putting in her life. Lord, I lift my kids before you. Keep them safe and healthy and whole. Lord, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. It can sound just like that. You feel free to go ahead and steal those words if you want. You'll find out that though you may not, you may have to discipline yourself, as you'll see in a moment, to get into that season. When you spend time with the Father, you never leave the presence of God wishing you didn't waste that time. You never leave that season saying, I wish I could have that 5 minutes back. As a matter of fact, you look back at that and you say, I wish I would make more time like that. See, there's some things that we need to understand, and it's about making prayer not just a noun, but a verb. Not just prayer is something, this is what it means, but prayer is something that I do. Prayer is a part of my life. So maybe you're here today and you're new to in your walk with Christ. Keep it simple. If you've been walking with the Lord for years, keep it simple. You always keep it simple. Maybe you're here today and you need to knock the rust off the gears of your prayer life. Don't feel condemned. God never brings condemnation. Y'all know where that comes from, right? Comes from the enemy. But he will, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction, and he probably is right now. And if it's you, any of you, and you're like, yeah, I need to be doing that. That's just the Holy Spirit saying, I love you. I want to hang out with you. And I got what you need. And he wants to share that with you. Well, why doesn't God give me, you know, the things? I pray and I say, God, you know, bless me with this job and bless me with that job, you know, at times. But maybe you haven't spent as much time with him. Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Well, it's the same as if my kids, you know, if I never talk to them and they never talk to me, but yet they want to borrow the car and they want the set of keys, I'm probably not going to be so quick to give it to them because I don't know you. I mean, I know you. I know who you are, but we don't have relationship. But God says, I want relationship with you. I want you to understand the power of prayer and the key, and know that the keys that he has given to you and me are keys that will set us free. So there is power in prayer. Amen? But what happens in life is sometimes there gets this short circuit. And that's what I want to talk about is there can be this short circuit where we kind of get in a slump, if you will. I remember working for a appliance store, and we worked on stoves, refrigerators, air conditioners, different things like that. And the guy's name was Wayne. I mean, he was just a manly man, and he was teaching me about air conditioners. And he wouldn't never let me work on them because it's dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing, that compressor can blow up. And he had an air conditioner in there, and he said, listen, Jim, he said, this compressor is not working. And the reason is most likely, he said, there's a short. Somewhere in there, there's a safety relay that when there's a short or something's wrong, it separates so that power doesn't continue to become internal, and cause the thing to blow up. And I thought, there's something more to this. You know, I started thinking about prayer. But here's the funny thing. He's human, too. As he was teaching me this principle, we walked out of the shop and he forgot to disconnect the power. And so he bypassed that safety switch. The power kept going to it and it created this internal combustion that all of a sudden, bam, that thing exploded. Thank God nobody was in the room because it could have seriously injured somebody or even taken somebody's life. You're talking about metal exploding. And so he looked at it and he goes, so, in conclusion, these things can be dangerous. And I thought about that as I was thinking about prayer, because many times we know that prayer is powerful. But if there is a short inside, an internal problem that's going on where we're not crying out to the Lord, it's like there's this buildup of tension on the inside till all of a sudden you see people that are just exploding here and exploding there, and things that's just becoming very chaotic in life because we don't know what it means to have an ongoing communication type of relationship with the Lord. You see, God wants relationship with each and every one of us. If you're here today and you're listening online and you've not given your heart to Jesus, He wants relationship with you. If you're here today and you've been walking with the Lord for 50 years, my question would be, when's the last time you talked to Him? Because you can be a Christian but not have good communication with the Lord, right? That's possible. That's possible. So what I'm asking you today, and the challenge I'm giving you, number one, was to take 5 minutes each day and pray. And then here's the second challenge. I'm asking you to take 10 minutes this week. 10 minutes out of your whole week. You've got like, I forget, we calculated 168 hours in a week. I'm asking you to take just 10 minutes of that. And I'm asking you to use that to pray for our nation. You can go beyond that if you want. You can pray for the world, because there's something that's going on, that God is just stirring things. And it's easy to look at what's wrong, isn't it? But we have to stay focused on what's right. And we have to understand how important this is so that there's not this internal explosion. Let me give you just a couple realizations about prayer. A, B, and C right there at the top. A, everyone can do it, okay? Let's just get this out in the open. Everyone can pray. If you can talk, you can pray. Here's the good news. If you're here today, you're watching online, and you say, I can't talk, I'm mute, you can still pray. You can pray, whether it's verbally. You can pray in the quietness of your own mind. You can pray. There's many times I've driven around in my car. I'm not moving my lips, but I'm praying. I'm praying in my spirit. We can pray in the spirit. We can use the heavenly language that God has given us. I like to pray in the car, especially when I'm by myself, because it makes everybody else look at me. You know what I mean? You pull up to a stop sign, and that's usually when I'm praying in the spirit. So I'll be like driving down the road. I don't do it all the time. I'm not trying to come across at all super religious. But there's times when I'm just praying. I'll be like, come up to the red light. And they're like, what song's he singing? You know, they're trying to tune in. And that I worked in Dallas, and there was a lot of Spanish-speaking population in the hotel I worked with. I loved this. I had fun. I'm not mocking. I'm not making fun. But it actually became a door opener to talk to a couple people about Jesus. So they had fun because I was the minority, okay? And so they're all speaking Spanish, and I don't understand Spanish. And so they'd sing songs, and they'd look at me now and, you know, whoop, and just kind of having fun and that, because they knew I didn't know what they were saying. So I thought, I started singing in the spirit. So I walk down the hallway, and I see them, and I say, and I walked away, and they started laughing because they have no idea what I'm saying. But because it's kind of flowing, they think it's a language. And I had two of people come back, and they said, hey, you, what were you singing? And I said, oh, I was just singing to God. Like God, Jesus, God? And I said, yeah. How do you sing that? And it became a door opener. You see, prayer is very powerful, and you never know what's going to happen or how God's going to use it. But it's not something that's just about something you get to use for out there. It must first start here. It's got to be cultivated within our lives. Everybody can do it. Letter B, God is an equal opportunity employer. Doesn't matter who you are. He says, I want to pour forth my blessings on you. Letter C, there are no limits to your asking except what you put on it. Except what you put on it. So today, as we talk about these principles, 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. The question is not, does God want to hear from me? He's made it clear, I want to hear from my children. The question is are we going to make time? Are we going to make time? See, there's some misconceptions about prayer. Sometimes people say, well, God doesn't want to hear from me. No, that's wrong. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. Some people say, well, it's just talking to God. Yep, that's what prayer is. It's just talking to God. Well, prayer is just, you know, it can't be learned. No, that's wrong. It can be learned. You can pray. You learn to speak English. You learn to do math. You can learn to pray. Some people say it's complicated. Actually, prayer is one of the easiest things you can do because you're speaking to somebody who's not going to try to fix it for you, give you the answer before you finish asking the question. You're talking to somebody who's going to give you grace like nobody else can. It's not complicated at all. Some people say, well, God's so inaccessible. No, he's not. He's right here. He's near you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He's near the brokenhearted. He walks with you. He'll talk with you, but only when you make him a priority. This principle of prayer is so important. So what is it that we need to learn and develop? Because, church, we're looking at days right now. And we can say this just because it's about history. The days today are like no other. There is some fresh, new, I'm just going to use the word weirdness, but you know what I mean, spiritual battles that are going on. But I want you to know there's a whole fresh, new anointing that goes with it. And there is nothing that the enemy can do that can ever overpower that. The only thing he can do is to try to snooker you and me into believing that God doesn't want to hear from us or that our prayers are ineffective. I want you to know today, prayer is so powerful. Well, Pastor, I pray. Continue to do it. I'm not here judging or asking or thinking that nobody's praying. I know you are. I know this is a praying church. But what I'm asking you, or what I believe the Holy Spirit is asking me, and I believe he's asking you today, is would you go just a little bit deeper? Would you go to the next layer of the onion? Would you take the next rung in the ladder and allow yourselves to develop a prayer life? Would you allow him to deepen that? But what is that going to take? Let me give you just six things real quick. Number one, write this down. Prayer is a discipline, and we are to develop it. Prayer is a discipline, and we are to develop it. I said a few weeks ago, if there was a gym, where you work out, if there was a gym that offered this, I'd pay three times the membership. If I could watch you work out and I get the muscle, I would pay three times because I could sit there, hey, Snickers satisfies. I'll eat a Snickers and watch you lift weights, and I get buffed because of it. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I would love something like that, but you can't find that anywhere. If you want the muscle, you got to lift the weight. And if you want to see a powerful prayer life, you have to make it a priority. You have to do the work. Let me read this to you. It's out of the Message translation. This is when Jesus asked the disciples to go and pray with him, but they fell asleep. And I read it out of the Message because I just liked how it was worded. It says that Jesus came back, found them asleep, and he said to Peter, Simon, you went to sleep on me. Can't you stick it out with me for one single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you, he says, is eager, Peter, and ready for anything in God, but another part of you is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. What he was doing was just trying, and the Message is just trying to paint a picture is all it's doing. And he's saying, can't you pray with me for 1 hour? A lot of times we take that as condemnation. Again, that's the enemy. Because he's going to sit there and say, yeah, can't you? Bunch of sorry rascals, you can't even spend time with God. That's the enemy that brings condemnation. He was just saying, I want time with you. And if you'll discipline yourselves and develop this, you'll see more power of the Holy Spirit evident in your life. But it means that we must do the work. You and I have got to do that. I think that the enemy knows that if we spend time with the Father God, there will be a transformative work that's been done in our life that he cannot even get around. It would be like, you know, sometimes you feel like the enemy is right here, just whispering in your ear. But when you just know that you're just full of the Spirit of God, he can't even come in the neighborhood because he cannot hang where the Holy Spirit is at. And so, yes, there's times that you can be full of the Holy Spirit and he still kind of comes at you, but in the name of Jesus, you get to tell him to be gone. And guess what? He has to go. He has to go. He doesn't have a choice. It's not up for debate. It's not up for, there's no options, multiple choices, and we're not taking a vote. It's already been done on the cross tree of Calvary, but I believe the enemy knows this. He knows that if he can get you and I to focus on anything else but prayer, then we will not experience that power God has. You see, if we start spending time with God, he knows this. He knows we'll start to see the light. He knows that when we start to see the light, we'll be set free. And when we get set free, we'll be changed for the good. And then we'll find out that we're loved right where we're at in our life. And we might hear truth, and then we'll believe what God says. And the enemy can't touch that. But you only get to that place when you discipline yourself and develop that in your life. So that's the first thing. Number two, write this down. Part of the principle is this. You and I, we may have to eliminate the external noise to gain the internal poise. I know I worked really hard to make that rhyme for you, but what it means by poise is this. Poise means stability. Poise means balance. And there's going to be times when you and I are going to have to maybe eliminate some of the noise around us. Let me read to you what happened to Peter in Acts chapter 9. It says that Peter went to Tabitha in the Bible, had died, and they called Peter and said, "Hey, can you come over here?" And so it reads this way. Some of the disciples had heard that Peter was visiting in nearby Lydda and went and sent two men to ask if he would be so kind as to come over. Peter got right up and went with them, and they took him into the room where Tabitha's body was laid out. Her old friends, most of them widows, were in the room mourning. They showed Peter pieces of clothing the gazelle had made while she was with them, and Peter put the widows out of the room. He knelt and he prayed, and then he spoke directly to the body, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened up her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, helped her up, and then he called in the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. One of the first things Peter did when they needed to see the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the blood of Jesus move, was to remove the external noise. Peter went in the room, and it says that he removed the people, right? He removed the external noise because he needed to focus. He didn't need doubt to get in the way, because faith is what speaks those promises. And he said and spoke directly to her, "Tabitha, get up." Let me ask you today, and I may ask you again a little bit later, what is it that Jesus would look at you and say, where he'd say, "Put your name in there. Jim, get up. Jim, listen to what I have to say. Jim, I'm speaking to you. This is what you need to do. And put your name in there where I put my name, because there's something that God wants to speak to you, but you may not be able to hear it until you remove some of the external noise so you can gain the balance that Jesus has for you, that wants to speak to you. This happened to Jesus in the Bible. In the book of Matthew chapter 9, we'll read that one together in just a minute. But what happened was this. They called Jesus and said, "Hey, can you come?" And a little girl had died. And they said, "Jesus, will you come?" And Jesus shows up. Can you read that up on the screen? Can you see that? It should be, if you're watching online, it should be up on your screen in a moment, or you can look at your outlines. But let's read this one together, nice and loud. Ready, go. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. How many of you feel good about that? Let's say you've got the masters of all masters in the field of your profession. Let's say, I'm just going to pick medical. Let's say it's medical. And somebody has an issue and you have the answer, and they call you and you come into the room and they say it's one thing, but you say it's another, and they start laughing at you. How do you feel about that? I mean, I've got the answer. You're asking for help. And then when I come and say what you need to do, you laugh at me? You know, I'd have been tempted to say, "Sorry, rascals, I'm out of here. Next." You see, but that's why I'm not Jesus, right? It's probably why you're not either. But Jesus, here's what Jesus did. Jesus, when he walked into the room, it says that he looked around and he knew their hearts. And they started to laugh, and he said, you know what, all of you, out. Get out of the room. And he removed the external noise. Because what I'm about to do requires faith, and that's not faith, that's doubt. Leave the room. He had to remove the external noise. Let me ask you this question this morning. What is the external noise in your life that the Holy Spirit's showing you that you need to remove? Maybe that external noise is you keep yourself busied with so many things, and if I stop doing it, I won't be as important or whatever. And God's saying, just remove the external noise so you can gain the balance in your life that you need. Number three, write this down. When we're talking about the principles of prayer, know that our posture communicates our passion. Our posture communicates our passion. In the book of Acts chapter 9, when Peter was talking to Tabitha, it says that he removed everybody in the room. He had everyone go out. And it says that when Peter removed them out of the room, when he got ready to pray for her, it says that he knelt down. He did this. He came up to Tabitha, because obviously if Tabitha's not alive, she's probably not standing, right? And so she's probably laying down. So he came and he knelt down. Now, kneeling is an act of also humility, right? Humbling ourselves. And he got down to where she was at. That's why when we come before the Lord, sometimes we call people to kneel when we pray. It's an act of humility. It's an act of surrender. But you see, what he was doing was he was meeting whatever issue he was dealing with at that level. And if God is going to use you the way that he wants to, he's going to want you and I as well to understand that a prayerful life is one that is willing to allow their posture to communicate passion and meet people where they're at. Let me give you an example. I remember experiencing prayer in my life and how powerful it needs to be. And as I was walking in that, I remember going through a dark season and I just started to pray. I said, Jesus, you know, I started to pray in kind of a general way. Lord, I just want you to make it better. Lord, I want to do the best I can for you. Lord, I want you to help me. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit was in the corner. He's like my cheerleader, right? He says, ask me what you want. Tell me, what is it you want specifically? And I'm like, I want to make you happy. I want to make right choices. I want to do good. He's like, get a little more specific. Tell me a little more. What do you want to see me do in your life? Oh, Lord. And then finally, it kind of pushed me into this place where I was like, Lord, I want to see health come back into my life. I want to see maturity come back once again because I haven't been very mature lately. I want to see my marriage grow and be healthy and strong. I want to have a healthy relationship with my kids. But it was like a ripcord all of a sudden. And I started to get specific in all of those things. But it required me to posture myself. Well, the lessons that I learned, let's say that I'm now communicating with a young person who went through something similar. And I want to identify with them. The last thing I'm going to do is stand up on this platform and have them stand down there and I say, how may I help you? With this smug arrogance, what am I going to do? He's going to say, man, you don't understand. My life's just horrible. I made all these wrong choices. And I'll go, ooh, yeah, I understand. Come here. And what I'll do is I'll say, sit down right here. And we'll sit down together and get on the same level. Because I know what it's like to make wrong choices. I know what it's like to suffer the consequences of the wrong choices that I've made, but I also know what it's like to receive grace from above. I know what it's like that when you develop your prayer life, that all of a sudden power, it becomes a passion once again. But we, you and I, must allow our posture to communicate that passion. Let me put it this way. Maybe the Lord's going to speak to you. Has he ever said to you, go pray for somebody, and you didn't do it? That's about posture. He says, are you willing to go? Because God wants to work in you and through you. He says, go and talk to your neighbor, or he says, go, whatever it is God says, he's wanting to know that he can work in us and through us. Just like Peter, when he knelt down, he was willing to speak life. Are you and I willing to humble ourselves as well? Because it's the key is this, the key is humility. We must humble our heart. There is a pride that comes across humbly. It's called a humble brag. Have you ever heard of that? People call a humble brag. A humble brag is simply this. It's when people, it's when you've done something that you're proud of and want to share with other people, but you want to do it in such a way that sounds so modest. You know what I mean? Let me give you an example. Let's say I tell you, oh, they want to take my picture again for the cover of the magazine. That's a humble brag. I'm telling you how daunting this is, how people want to see the picture of moi, but somebody's got to do it, right? That's a humble brag. Or here's another one. Oh, they want me to share my testimony again. Well, you don't have to, but you see, that's a humble brag. I try to just live the right life, but God just keeps calling me to share with everybody. Yeah, that's a humble brag. That's got pride. That's got a hint of pride in it. You got to be very careful of that because it's easy to get caught up in. What God's calling for is a heart that is humble. So we've got to disciple and discipline ourselves, develop that. We've got to eliminate the noise. We've got to posture ourselves. Number four, write this down. Then we've got to be specific in where we aim our prayers. Be specific. I already said, if you pray a general prayer to a general God in a general way, don't be surprised when you get some general results. But when you pray a specific prayer to a specific God in a specific way, you'll get specific answers. But what you need is you need to make sure that your motivation is right. Your motivation is pure. There's times where sometimes we don't feel like praying, but yet God is calling us to this place because there is a power, and he needs you and I to understand that we must be specific, because when we focus in, we will be able to hit the target each and every time. Not because of how good we are, but because of how good God is through us. I love my brother-in-law. His name's Sam. He's a Yeah, he's a man's man. He works in a prison system. He worked there. He didn't, you know, live there. He was a prison guard. And, you know, you're dealing with prisoners, you know, I'm sure that can only kind of affect you in certain ways. We've got some that come to church here that work in prisons and that. But my brother-in-law is a gun type of guy. He loves guns, okay? I used to give him a hard time because he had like guns just coming out of his ears. You know, he picked me up one day. We went down to do an oil change in his car and he had this little Suzuki, you know, little, you know, tiny car. And I got in the car with him and I said, hey man, I said, do you still, you know, you still into guns? You still carrying guns? He goes, oh yeah. Opened up his jacket or whatever and showed me his gun. And I'm like, oh yeah, nice gun. He said, that's pretty cool. And he says, open up the glove box. Okay, and I open up the glove box. There's a gun. I'm like, geez, Sam. I said, do you need so many guns? He goes, look under your seat. I'm like, are you serious? I'm sitting on top of an arsenal. If you get in an accident, I'm going to get shot in the butt or something, you know. I pull out another gun, and I'm like, dude. And he goes, hey, Florida. And so he says, you know what? He says, I want to take you shooting. I said, all right. And hey, this is, I don't know how many years ago. I'm going to say 12. I don't know. My daughter was about 13, 14 years old. That perfect age when you start to worry a little bit more about kids, you know. And so he takes me out and we go shooting. My brother-in-law, you know, he hits the target. Pop, 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 pop. He hits, you know, center body mass, a few headshots. You know, he wasn't perfect, but he was pretty close to it. Then it was my turn. It was like Barney Fife. Pop, 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 pop. I mean, squirrels were scattering, right? You know, I didn't hit the target, but I hit the stick that held the target and I knocked the target down. So I'm taking credit for like a foot shot or something like that, you know? And he's like, no, here's what you got to do. And he says, now look through the sight. Take your time. Breathe. Inhale, exhale. And then I'll pull the trigger. Bam, bam, bam. So I got a little better, and I got a little better. But I was getting frustrated because I'm like, how do you, I don't get it. And he goes, Jim, you just need to be properly motivated. He goes, here, watch this. And he put a cartridge in the gun, racked it back, gave it to me. He says, now aim. And then he came right up next to my ear, and he goes, now picture that target. And he goes, that's a boy that wants to ask your daughter out. And he's saying, Mr. Machen, I think your daughter's beautiful, and I want to grow up and marry her. And without missing a beat, I went, bam, 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 bam. And I hit the center every time. He slapped me on the arm, and he goes, see, you just needed some proper motivation. Might I encourage you today? Prayer is very powerful, but maybe you and I just need to be properly motivated. Prayer is not just about rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, God bless me, my four no more, or now I lay me down to sleep. Pray for your meals. I hope you gather around your tables. I hope you eat together. I hope you pray and thank God at nighttime when you go to bed. You took your children in maybe, or you're praying for one another. But don't let that be simply the definition of what your prayer life is. Your prayer life is walking in relationship with God. And he says, get specific and tell me what it is that you want. You may not get everything you want, but you'll get God's perspective because you won't doubt. You'll walk in faith and God will provide. So my question to you is this. What are you supposed to be focusing on today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What's that motivation that you need? Number five, write down prayerlessness leads to powerlessness. If you have a prayerless life, you'll have a powerless life. Well, Pastor, you told me that when Jesus comes into my heart and I'm saved, that I've been given all authority. Yes, you have. You have all the authority. But if you don't know how to walk in that authority, it's no different than saying that I bought a gun, so therefore I know how to shoot. No, you got to go out and you got to practice shooting the gun and become good at it before you know how to hit a target. Because if you don't know how to load the gun, if you don't know how to rack the chamber back, you're sunk, right? And in prayer, you got to understand that there is powerlessness when there's no prayer life that's happening. An ongoing relationship, talking with God. You don't have to be holy or religious. You don't have to talk King James, just talk Jim James, okay? You know, oh, Father, thou art great and the most holiest. You don't have to talk that way unless that's the way you normally talk. But I've never heard anybody talk that way. You can talk to him like I'm talking to you today. Jesus, I don't understand what's going on right now, but I'm putting my faith in you. Father, I need to see you move in this area because the doctors are saying one thing, but whose report am I going to believe in? I'm going to believe in the report of Jesus Christ. So Lord, no matter what happens, I know that you are going to be faithful in all things. Your grace is sufficient. I don't like it, but you didn't ask me that. You asked me if I was going to walk in obedience. You see, that's prayer. You're not just fooling yourself. You're not just lying to yourself. You're declaring the promises of God. And when you get into that kind of a routine, power, there's a resurgence of power that comes. It's about a prayerful life. There's two verses. I won't take a whole long time, but in Mark chapter 9, I was reading my Bible, and I like to find just strange stories in the Bible, things that make me scratch my head. Like, you know, back in the book of Kings, it says, I think it was Elijah. It might be Elisha. I can't remember off the top of my head. It says that at one point he was walking, and it says that a bunch of teenagers came out and mocked him and said, "Go up, you bald head." And he pronounced a curse on them. And it says two female bears came out and mauled the kids. And I'm like, what? You know, what's that all about? You know, weird things. Well, I was reading this, and in Mark chapter 9 of the New King James Version says, so he said, this is Jesus speaking, he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And then I was reading my New American Standard for some reason and caught this same verse. It says, he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Didn't use the word fasting. Go check it out. Go look at a New King James and then look at a New American Standard, and you'll see that the word fasting is in the New King James, but not in New American Standard. Now, there's a whole other thing going on there. You know, fasting is important. That's a whole other topic that we're not going to talk about right now. But I got hung up on they forgot a word. Or they added one or what. But what I was missing was the focus wasn't on the fasting, though that is important. What Jesus was saying was this kind cannot come out unless you are living a prayerful life, one that is active, one that is being engaged, and you're walking in the promises of God. He says, you as disciples, they were sent out to cast out demons and heal people. He said, this kind doesn't come out except for those who have been walking in a prayerful life, which tells me this, that when you and I live a prayerful life, we can address anything that the enemy's bringing our way. And it has to move because they're removed when we're living a prayerful life. You see, God loves us so much. He gives us the power to be able to pull off whatever it is that he's calling us to do. But if we live a prayerless life, we live a powerless life. And the last one is this, number six, when we're talking about prayer. Write down, a personal prayer life is going to lead you and me to a place of personal responsibility. I want to introduce you to our president of the Foursquare Gospel. His name's Randy Remington. Maybe you're not familiar with how this goes, but the government within our organization, there's a president, there's a vice president, they have a cabinet, they have a board of directors, there's general supervisors, district supervisors, they lay it all out there. You've met our district supervisor, Dan Munt. Well, we have gotten, Glenn Burris has served the church for a number of years, and last week we had the inauguration service for our new president, Randy Remington. And in his inauguration speech, message, he had something that he shared about prayer, and I want to play that for you. Go ahead and play that with volume.
A praying church. The Spirit and the bride together say, come. And that invitation is twofold. It's a prayer literally that is asking for the nations of the earth to come to Jesus. May your kingdom come, Jesus. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Daniel, when he prayed, he saw this gap between what was and what God's will was, and he stood in that gap and he interceded. And we see a gap between what God's will is and what is, and so we step into that place and we pray, and when Daniel prayed, he was defying a situation he didn't want to be in, and he believed that God wanted to change. Prayers that are directed towards God to act because only God can change what needs to be changed. Arguably, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, Karl Barth, said this, "To clasp hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." Eugene Peterson's classic book, The Contemplative Pastor, is there ever a book with a more harmless-sounding name than that one? Describes prayer as a subversive activity that involves a more or less open act of defiance against any claim of the current regime. Prayer is not just a, we don't know what else to do. It's part of the uprising. It's part of the counter-revolution where light penetrates darkness. And when culture's at a low point and we see the things that are taking place around us that we seem unable or have an inability to change, we step into that place with prayer. These are demanding and opportunistic days for the church, and we want to be relevant, radiant, revolutionary in the face of spiritual opposition and broken culture, and societal indifference and disdain, and we know that what will make possible what's in our heart to see is because God will move and God has set himself to do a work, that there's a commitment to urgent prayer. May your kingdom come. May you come in this situation. May you come in this moment. And then, Jesus, we just really want to be with you. And we wouldn't mind if you would just come. But the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, that he wants all to come to repentance and none to...
Amen. Yeah, if you want to see the full thing, you can go check that out later. But what I wanted to draw out of that was not only a chance to introduce you to who our president is, but that at the very beginning, he says, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's calling us to a place to come and to be in the presence of God and to understand what it means to develop that prayer life. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, and I'll end with this, the people came to Jeremiah and they said this. They said, and I'm going to sum it up a little bit so you can go look at it, but it's chapter 42. It says that they came to him as they were heading towards Egypt, going a direction that they weren't necessarily called to go. And they came to Jeremiah and they said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, will you pray for us? Pray to your God for us so that we can hear from your God, so that we might know what your God has to say. And Jeremiah said, I have heard what you've had to say. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord. But he said, I will pray to the Lord, your God. And I'll find out what the Lord, your God, has to say. And then I will tell you what the Lord, your God, said. In other words, what Jeremiah was doing, now in the Old Testament, they had priests and prophets that would intercede on behalf of the people. But in a way, he was giving almost a prophetic vision or a direction of, yes, there's a time where that we stand in the gap and speak to God, but there's coming a time when you will be able to stand in his very own presence because he's not just the Lord, my God, he's the Lord, your God. And because of what we celebrated even today, at the act of coming to communion, means that we can walk boldly into the presence of God. Not arrogantly, not cocky, but walking in with a humble heart. And if you and I will walk into his presence and say, Lord, teach me to develop that in my life. I believe we need this understanding of what prayer and how powerful it is now more than ever. And if we will develop it, eliminate the noise, posture ourselves, and take the rest of these points and apply them to our life, we will see that God is not only there, but that he's going to speak to us things that we never thought he ever would. We're coming into times, folks, where we need the voice of the Lord more now than ever. Now more than ever. And so my prayer, my challenge to you that I gave you at the beginning was this. Will you accept and receive the challenge that each day, 5 minutes, you'll pray. You'll just take that time and you'll pray. And you'll take 10 minutes this week, and you'll just pray for our world, for our nation, because we need to see Jesus intervene in a mighty way, just as much as you need to see Jesus intervene in whatever it is you're going through in your life. And when you do that, he will move in a powerful way. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you love us so much, that you don't just give us ideas, you just don't give us slight hints at what direction that we're supposed to go. You're very clear and specific. That you want relationship with us. You want to speak to us. You want to develop a work within us. And then you want to work through us so you can accomplish what it is that you want to set forth. So Lord, help us to be the church that you've called us to be. And we are declaring today that being the church is to be a praying people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to develop in those times when we feel so weighted down and discouraged that, Lord, we'd remind ourselves the importance of coming into your presence. And that, Lord, we'd just cry out to you. And Lord, when we do that, we'd see you move in a mighty way. Lord, develop us. Cause us to build that spiritual muscle that we need and that's necessary so we can know how to navigate through the times that we go through. Father, I pray your blessing upon each and everyone here today. And I ask that all in Jesus' name, amen.